Flashbacks. Flashbacks.
We've got Mary Cavey on the line to talk all things soccer. So we're going to kick off with Adelaide United first. Obviously, your role at Adelaide United, and you're finishing up at the end of the year. And just tell us about the transition there before we get into some of the players.
Yeah, good to be back, guys. Yeah, I've been Red Army president for four seasons now. I was secretary a long time before that, so been around the traps for almost a decade. But yeah, stepping down at the end of this season, the AGM's next week. Our new president will be voted in. Just time for a fresh face. I've ticked all the boxes I think that I can tick, and brought a few of my ideas in, which I'm pretty proud of. But don't want to overstay my welcome, and I think the new generation's got a lot to give, so ready to step aside.
Fair call. Some player movement, obviously, at Adelaide United this year. You're probably closer to it from a fan's point of view than most. What are your thoughts on some of the ins and the outs at this time of the year?
Oh, look, it's always a very dramatic time for the fans of Adelaide United. Throughout the season, they're saying our defence is rubbish. We need new, better players. We need change, all yada yada. And then they went and, sent off about a half a dozen of them. And then there was an uproar of, oh, we've got no players left. Where's our team? We're going to have to play all our kids. And they've made a few signings. Obviously they're young, but there's a lot of promise there in the legs, having fresh legs. But there is some experience coming in as well. There's some Ollie Roos experience for some of the young ones. And the latest one is obviously a player from PSV, which is our new sister club overseas. They've sent us over a very experienced defender, 300 games in the Eredivisie. He was captain of Sparta Rotterdam there. He actually played with Craig Goodwin. So that's where the connection is. And Craig has been in his ear for quite a while now, since they were playing together a few years back. So, yeah, very excited to see what he can bring in terms of experience, but also leadership and obviously just needing a really solid centre-back for a long time now. Yeah, pretty keen.
Two questions, Mary. How do you see that sister club arrangement working and hopefully to Adelaide United's benefit? And the second part, different. So, subject in terms of obviously still Adelaide United, but we are basically a club relying on buying and selling the player at a higher price than what we bought in for the club's survival and that sort of thing. Are the club ticking the boxes in that sort of regard, and will the money be reinvested, hopefully?
Yeah, so we recognise, well, most realistic fans recognise and understand that we are a development team in a development league, really. So it is all about bringing up players, training them up, getting them to an elite level so that they can then go overseas and succeed in the better league. So anyone that thinks otherwise is a bit head in the sand for me. But, so it's always going to be a lot of turnaround. Every season there's just a lot of ins and a lot of outs. And the A-League itself can be a bit of a recycle bin sometimes. The people just rotating from club to club to club. Some players have been at four, five, six clubs in the, a dozen teams in the nation. So we're always going to be about breeding youth, getting them to a good standard, and then essentially making money off them to keep the club surviving. There is obviously a balance there that they need to find to also be competitive and to aim for trophies as well, which is at the end of the day what us as fans want to see and what we invest ourselves in to see. Yes. So, yeah, it's always a hard balance there, mate. In terms of PSV, it's going to be a collaboration. Obviously, like, they've been around a long time, but where they sit in their balance of things overseas is not dissimilar to where we are. They breed up from the youth, get them up to a good standard. So it's going to be about learning from each other, offering each other different experiences and different resources. I know that our new technical director, Ernest Faber, he's from PSV. He's moving here. He's bringing his family. He's investing, so he's going to bring a wealth of European experience over here. And And, you know, I know that our football director, Marius, has just come back from over there. So he's seen firsthand how their club runs, how they're structured from their youth academies upwards, all that stuff he's brought back. And hopefully we can see some good movement within our own club from that.
So you talk about, obviously, the A-League being a little bit of a development league. Is it a case, just listening to what you're saying there, is it a case that the new direction, I suppose, for Adelaide United is a little bit more youth?
I think it's always going to be. I think Adelaide's already created a proud tradition of creating and growing talent from within our own ranks. And at the end of the day, we're never going to have a lot of money to be able to bring in fancy names. So, you know, we are a small city in the scheme of this country. You know, we're not the Sydneys and the Melbournes with endless resources and endless sponsorships and millions of dollars to spend on big names. So, you know, it's usually always going to come from the local leagues investing and sorry, my cat's making a constant appearance here.
Making a special guest, you know, appearance.
Macy of the Red Army. You know, going out to the youth leagues, you see Carl Veer and Marius and Nathan Cosmina out there every week, you know, checking out the NPL, seeing who's performing. You know, that's where they're bringing in their youth, and it's always Adelaide born, Adelaide bred, you know, as the saying goes.
You've led us beautifully into what we wanted to talk a little bit about, was the Australia Cup and obviously Campbelltown City and the Modbury Jets qualifying for the round of 32. That's exciting.
Yeah, brought up by Paul Bowden too. Yes, thanks to Paul.
Yeah, definitely. Very proud, obviously, having a couple of teams make it this far. Sad to see my own Metro Stars not continue through as far as they did last year, but yeah, look, Modbury are sitting, and Campbelltown have always been super competitive in the NPL. You know, Modbury, I think, are sitting second behind Metro Stars, and Campbelltown aren't far behind. So they're consistent performers in the NPL, and they deserve the chance to get out there against the big teams across the country. And yeah, I'm sure no matter what, they'll do SA proud.
And obviously Adelaide United have qualified as well. So a bit of David v Goliath.
Skin of our teeth. Yeah, Adelaide United making the bare eight, you know, to qualify for Australia Cup. It's, you know, not ideal, not the way we want to do it regularly. But, yeah, we'll be in the mix, and we've always done very well for a while there. It was called the Adelaide Cup, not the Australia Cup, because we were winning it almost every second year. So you never know. Maybe with the new juice we get in this year, maybe we can go further again.
All right, some would say let's get on to the real stuff. Obviously, the European Championships are on at the moment, quite topical. What are your thoughts so far, and what are your surprises?
Thoughts so far, married to an Englishman, England have been pretty shocking so far. Yeah, they're talking about scraping in by the skin of their teeth. You know, it's... But, you know, I think they've just got this cult following that they're always going to do well, and that they don't always necessarily, but they do have a habit of jagging it at the last minute and keeping you on the edge of your seat. So, I don't know, maybe that constitutes good football these days. But, I think...
Fair bicycle goal kick by Bellingham too, Mary, to keep him alive, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Honestly, I wasn't a big fan. I mean, I'm fairly I don't like the big egos in players. You know, I just want to see beautiful football, but I see the celebrations and the, you know, who else, he says, you know, with his arms out, and it's like, mate, you didn't score in a single group game, and this is your first game goal of the tournament. But anyway, look, it was what they needed in that moment, and it was an absolute pearler. But yeah, look, I think I don't see them winning it. I hate to say it. I'd love to say it, because you know, they're going to be my team that, you know, that from birth, but. No, I think probably a team like Spain or Germany will obviously take it out. They've just been more consistent, I think.
Yeah.
France are barely scoring. You know, I don't know. But there's just not very many goals this year. It's odd.
It's been a hell of a lot of own goals too. It's been a percentage of goals, and a couple of them.
They were leading goal scorer for most of the group games. Okay. Yep.
So it's been a weird tournament in that regard. And, yeah, Italy and France have both been a bit underwhelming. And, Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on Spain and Germany. Yeah. The two, and Portugal were very lucky to survive overnight.
And Spain and Germany play each other in the quarterfinals, so you almost sort of say whoever gets through that one will probably take it out. Yeah,
we'll take it out. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, France have been a little bit average. England have been shocking. Portugal only winning through on pens, relying on old mate Ronaldo when I think he's definitely past his peak on a national level, unfortunately. They need to start making better decisions if they're going to get any further in terms of, who's making starting 11 and how they use their subs. But, it's been a fun tournament. We'll be out at the district at the casino on Sunday morning, bright and early. Making a ruckus with the England fans. Yep. Bring on Switzerland.
So we're all sort of in agreement. Whoever wins that quarterfinal between Spain and Germany will probably go through the final. Who is your other opponent? Or who are you thinking?
Oh, look. Going by the luck they seem to jag, I'm always going to say England. I just feel like they'll pull something out. Maybe they're just keeping all the good stuff for the bigger games. I don't know. Maybe they're just pacing themselves. Who knows? But, yeah, look, they're always usually one of the final four, aren't they? They always seem to get to that final four. I think Spain and, geez, I don't know. Yeah.
England and as a QPR person, I want to see Eze score and his price skyrocket. So Crystal Palace sell him because QPR can make some good coin of the on sell. So that's my major interest.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just making sure none of my Liverpool boys get injured. Every time these big world tournaments come in, we come back with broken legs.
Well, we were hoping to have your lovely partner on to talk some EPL. Maybe we might save that one up for a couple of weeks' time and. Hopefully nice transfer fee there on a couple of players would be very nice for QPR. And
he's the one.
We'll sit down and
talk. I can tell you Jason's already chomping at the bit at some of the signings Chelsea are making. And, obviously Liverpool with a new manager, Chelsea with a new manager. There's been a lot of movement. So, yeah, there'll be plenty to talk about.
Fantastic.
Really appreciate it, Mary.
Thank you once again, Mary, for joining us. And
thanks. Good
best
chat.
Of luck early on, what was it, Sunday morning there.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night.
You were watching the game, Mary? Where are you going to?
Sky City. England supporters will be at the district at the casino, which is that big sort of open air, big screen bar in there. Yeah, sports bar.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Take care, guys.